It was here that I became familiar.
It was here that I became familiar.
It was here
that I became
familiar. It was here that I became familiar.
That I became familiar
to a person and a cause.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
This is Jess.
Yes, and it's the summer.
Yes.
And this is not the day we're recording on, the day that you're listening.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird. We're coming from the past.
No.
The past. I may be dead at this point. You're listening to this in memoriam of me.
Man, not really. It'd be really cool, though, in a way that you'd be dead.
Yeah.
And prophesizing your own death.
So play this at my funeral.
No.
Yes.
What's up, y'all?
Let's get
fucked up. Hey. And we're happy campers to be talking about what today? My friend Regan that was gonna about to speak my eulogy.
I'm not gonna be there, dude. I'm gonna be in some other state or country or something.
Oh, God. I'm gonna be in the casket like this.
I didn't know you were
gonna
die that week. I bought the plane tickets 3 months in advance.
Take my ashes, bro.
You're dead already. I don't know you're gonna die. Or do I?
Wait. I die dead. While you're over in your chair.
Yeah.
Because I was driving, I was doing this for like 10 miles. Whatever, gives a fuck about. Boom, crash, okay. Yeah.
Then I'm not. Wait. All right, topic number one. What dinosaur would you like to have in his obedient traveling companion?
Yeah! This is what I'm going out on?
Yeah.
Going on a high note.
Topic number two. What children's show do you think is really deep and why? And topic number three, how old were you when you went from thinking kissing was gross to wanting to kiss?
Yeah,
and we fuck yeah.
Are pleased as punch to have for the first time, once again, three first timers in a row, guests on Public Access, members of Puto Slam Poetry, Diamond and Nathan. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
So talk to us about, we were referencing that you, Diamond, have been doing poetry since you were 17?
I've been doing slam since I was 17. I've been writing since I knew what full sentences were.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Nathan, how long have you been
doing about the same time doing slam, 17 years old, yeah.
Wow.
Me and Nathan actually were members of a slam poetry club at our high school that is now the first and only San Antonio Youth Slam.
What? Is that still going on?
Yeah. Yep. Fresh Ink Youth Slam. Yeah. We're actually sending our first competing team to Brave New Voices this year.
This year, yeah.
Where's that at?
It's in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're for fundraising, where me and Nathan are two of the coaches that are helping get that stuff started and everything.
Yep.
Sweet. And there's a lot of cussing and talking about, like,
farts
and stuff.
Yeah.
Here's what it's about. They don't have any. There's not a market for
teenage farts.
It's about two things: prom,
right,
and football.
Yeah,
but not directly. It's not like the poem is talking about specifically football. The layers of imagery is
very subtle.
Has there been like that jock that like likes poetry a lot but doesn't like what poets are about, so he's writing poems about football and Axe body spray?
I think Travis does count.
Oh yeah, he's kind of sensitive too. So
he's not a youth poet.
he used to be,
but he's not a youth poet. I'm not a youth anything anymore. We were just talking about that. Like, when we were going to Puto Slam, you guys were in elementary school.
Yeah, middle school.
Jess was what?
I was like 40.
You're like 45. Yeah. 50 years
like
old back
Don,
then?
Don Draper's age, yeah.
I don't get his old references.
Don Draper.
I got it.
You'd know him better as Dong Draper.
Dong Draper.
Yes.
Yeah, from porn.
Yes. No, not from porn.
So you're taking these high school kids to Atlanta, Georgia to do poetry. Are they? Have you done this every year since you guys graduated?
This is our first year working with the youth team, sending a competing team, but me and Nathan have been in the scene since we graduated.
Yeah, me and actually Ariana Brown were the co-founders of this club at our school.
Wow.
So we were just really fortunate to start getting venues and start getting people behind the, you know, because a lot of other places like Austin and Dallas and a lot of other places send teenagers to this thing called Brave New Voices, which is a national competition for under 21 slam poets. San Antonio didn't have a team yet, so we were really pushing that, and we just been doing that ever
so this
since.
Is the first year?
This is the first year that we're sending a competing team,
We sent an entourage team that just went to the festival and participated in the workshops, got to see the shows. They didn't actually participate
There's a lot of
workshops
and things that happen besides the competition, but it's really good.
Now, is an entourage team like the movie Entourage?
No, it's exactly. There's a turtle. There's a lot of
meathead. What else was in Entourage?
I don't even know.
Archie.
I just agree. Fast for the Fingers. Hell of it.
I've never seen the Entourage. Dude from the Blob remake in the '80s.
The Blob.
Yeah, Kevin Dillon. Yeah, I was like Entourage, the guy from the Blob remake.
And everyone's favorite hair regenerator. What's his name?
Joel Settles. Oh no, Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah,
my mom loves that show.
Really?
Entourage. That's the only reason I know anything about it.
Wasn't the whole
reason my mom loves that show. You hear that, guys out there that didn't go to my show on Thursday because it was the Entourage premiere? Nathan's mom likes Entourage.
It wasn't the Entourage premiere. That was the week before. Don't blame it on Entourage.
No, I got a fucking message, dude. We'd go, maybe we got tickets to Entourage.
No one said that. No one said that.
They did.
They're wrong.
Did you invite my mom? Well,
that makes it even worse.
I'm not going there.
That makes it worse because it was not the Entourage premiere. They're lying. It was a week before.
Oh, so they're just lying.
They're just straight up lied to you.
No. Maybe they didn't go to the premiere. That's how.
They just went to go see the. They just went to go see Entourage. Yeah, like, it was already out for a week.
It's been out for a week.
It wasn't like a midnight screening. And they went in their Entourage cosplay. That didn't happen.
No.
I think he went in his. I think he's always in Entourage cosplay.
Does that count as cosplay, or is that just dress up at that point?
You're just
this
douchebag. You're just dressed like a douchebag. I don't know.
Yeah, is Jess really in Kyle Gass cosplay?
Like, yes!
Sorry,
he's doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks,
it when I walked in.
It's great. You're like, Kyle Gass?
Yeah,
nice, man. Yeah. That's good. So you guys do the slams every week.
Yes,
where at and when?
Yeah.
Right now we're at the Corova, which is at 107 East Martin Street. Mm-hmm. Slam starts at 10. If you want to sign up, you should probably be there.
Tuesdays. Every Tuesday.
Did you guys know that Corova was called River City Cabaret?
Yes.
At one point, I wasn't.
Is the pole still there? No, right?
No.
We never performed there.
Yeah,
and the pole was gone.
It was before it was even called Corova. Because before Corova,
Rudamaya, the bean, the coffee
place
shop. Yeah,
do you remember it being called Rudamaya?
No.
Once again,
wasn't that a venue in Austin? Like,
well, because Rudamaya, moved to Austin. They actually moved their whole coffee bean.
Yeah, that was where the Youth Slam Finals was in 2011. Yeah, was at the Rudamaya in Austin.
There you go.
I made the Brave New Voices for that year too for Austin.
I signed my name on a brick up there.
It's cool.
See.
Oh, and by the way, the slam. For Poodle Slam is in the basement of the Corova. Yes. So if you go on Tuesdays and there's nobody there, go to the basement.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It really
it's a good
cool.
venue.
It's all black. You can see like the piping.
But what was it when there was a strip club then?
The basement?
Yeah.
That was probably the green room or what do you call the
champagne room?
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, take them outside down to the basement. That just sounds grody. I don't know if I just hella shiesty.
Take them down to river level.
So you're doing like...
Because it's located right next to the river.
Sounds like a move. It's all muggy.
Yeah, let me take this chick to river level.
Yeah, go splash down. We've established what that means.
That sounds dirty. That sounds something that shouldn't cost more than $15.
Thank you.
Yeah,
splash down.
At River City Cabaret, nothing costs more than $15.
They're doing like slam poetry in the basement where the ghosts of like... hundreds of strippers are kind of hovering
that
there.
That explains so much.
You were able to get
does. You can really feel that.
F. That's how good.
Everything just started mutating. Yeah,
exactly.
Down there.
It was awesome.
It's actually a nice venue.
It is. Stripper jokes aside.
That bitch got lobsters.
What's going on?
And cover is $1, and all of it goes to benefit the team. And if you don't have a dollar, I'm pretty sure someone could spot you, or you could get puppy dog
eyes. That's sad if you don't have a dollar.
Yeah, I mean, or if you go, Shaggy will probably just let you in.
Yeah.
He's been really strict about it.
For free.
Coupon code is Kenan Thompson.
Is there a Kenan Thompson like poet that Shaggy is specifically sending?
No, he did want us to give a major shout out to Kenan Thompson.
Yes, Kenan Thompson.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Hey, who would give a shout out to Kenan Thompson
on Facebook? He had asked for people to
give him ideas for a poem like a few months ago, and all I did was post a picture of Kenan Thompson. He's like, you have your winner. You can pick up your drink whenever you want to. You get a free drink. And I was like, I knew that would win.
I sure, like, he did a Petey Pablo poem. Y'all have no idea who Petey Pablo is. Do you know who Petey Pablo is?
Yes.
You have no idea, Nathan, right?
Petey Pablo, I still have nightmares about, anyways.
As well, you should have nightmares about Petey Pablo.
He's the basically... fact, okay, 95.1 started bringing back Petey Pablo songs.
Yeah.
And it slightly makes my day. And then on the other hand, I'm like, why do we need to remember that Petey Pablo was a thing, guys?
What was Petey Pablo's hit?
There was this one song he did.
Percolate. Percolate.
Well, no, there was one he did after 9/11 where he was like, USA.
No, he didn't have a 9/11 song.
Yeah.
He had Take Your Shirt Off. Run around your head like a helicopter.
I've heard of his name.
And then on Drumline, he was the guest of that other school that they hated.
Petey Pablo came out.
And then he followed a lot of kids.
And everyone's like, I don't know. And then Nick Cannon's like, it was fucking awesome. That's my father in law's favorite movie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Petey Pablo loved the kids.
Petey Pablo loved the kids, man. Petey Pablo does his best. So, yeah, Shaggy has a poem with a Petey Pablo reference that I really hope at the time it was relevant. Now, yeah, it'd be fucking.
He does do old ones.
It's relevant for the people who know who Petey Pablo is, which is no one after like 2005.
2000 and late.
I've heard of him, but I have no idea.
First time I heard that name ever. The song, sure. First time I ever heard the name attached to the song.
Is that the first time I ever heard 2000 and late?
Yeah,
no, that was Fergie.
Y'all know what's up.
Hashtag Fergalicious.
I liked her better when she was with.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Remember when she peed on herself?
Yeah, I have seen that.
I was like, whoa.
You liked her better when she was with Wild Orchid? Is that what you're going to say?
With
Mickey Mouse Club?
No, that was like Britney Spears.
No, it was Fergie.
She was on there too? Mm-hmm.
Fergie, and she was in Wild Orchid.
I recently discovered that Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato were on Barney.
Nuh-uh, bro.
When they were kids?
Yeah.
Or like recently?
When they were like...
Is Barney still a thing?
I don't know.
Is it? Like new episodes?
Like to eat people's paninis?
I think it's just a whole lot of reruns. I think it's been reruns since like we were kids.
I don't think Barney...
It doesn't need to be relevant whatsoever. Barney can just keep repeating. And it's like, yeah, everyone
like my
needs
sister
hugs.
Was watching an episode of Barney and saw Selena Gomez at like 6 and was like... My sister's 8, by the way.
I was pissed when I was like, you know, because I was like 12 when my cousin liked... fucking Barney, and I remember they were just remixing fucking other songs, dude. I'm like, that's your song, Barney.
They're running out of Barney.
They're trying to be like more modern.
I love you, you love me.
Oh yeah,
skinnamarinky dinky dink.
Yeah, oh, Barney's the Carlos Mencia of children's singing hosts.
Barney is the punk daddy.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
why?
I feel like Fraggle Rock. Would be Puff Daddy.
Why would Fraggle Rock's OG, dude?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's original. Puff Daddy's not original.
He's a producer. What did he steal?
Every song ever.
No, he just liked
for the Godzilla
talk
soundtrack.
While freaking Biggie was rapping.
No, but he wouldn't even sample. He would just take the instrumental of songs, bro.
That's what everybody
does.
The
Muppets.
Then, what about the Muppets?
Taking instrumentals and just gone.
No, they had originals, homie.
They did. I'll give them that.
And other than that, it was covers. Muppet covers, bro.
Yeah.
Muppet covers, but that's not original.
But it's, you know what? Do y'all do poetry covers?
You can't in a slam. You can at an open mic, but a slam is specifically original.
Have you ever done a cover?
Yes.
Really? Who did you cover?
Ebony Stewart.
Okay.
And
it was just a poem that you really love?
Yeah.
Okay.
I covered Ebony Stewart and I covered Rudy Francisco and I don't remember who
Petey
else.
Pablo?
Almost.
But you
there was a moment.
Flat out say, this is a poem from...
Well, in one of them, yes. In the other one, it was a competition where I was allowed to do covers, so I just had to write. Like, they announced, they were like, this is Diamond and she's doing a poem by Ebony Stewart.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nathan, ever done a cover?
No, I have not.
You're a real artist, man.
I was paying homage to my coach, okay.
I was paying homage to that open micers joke I stole. Oh, that's a good one, man. I'm going to pay homage to you in another city.
And not give you any credit.
Yeah, exactly. Carlos Mencia is just paying homage to all us.
Imitation is the finest form of flattery, but the laziest form
of
creativity.
And the surest to get you punched in the face.
Ooh.
Dang. Have y'all witnessed any fights
at slams? Like straight up, what has happened?
Yeah. Sometimes if you go up there and do a poem that people don't agree with, they'll write a response poem, which is really funny to watch.
Immediately?
Yeah. Nice. Sometimes immediately. Sometimes the next time in slam, and it's just like pretty much bashing that previous poem
that you did.
And then, you know, it can go on for a while. Like sometimes,
back and forth?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Other times, people get so upset that they actually throw punches after they get off stage. Like, wow. I've witnessed people literally being, like, carried out of slam. I've witnessed the doorman getting in a fight with the dude he was trying to kick out of slam, and they were, like, wrestling in the parking lot. I've witnessed, like, slam after-party fights.
It gets real. That's why it's called slam poetry. Yeah, exactly.
It's called slam. Yeah, but it's never, slam. Like, it's hardly... I think it's only ended in bad blood Hogan, once, yeah. And that was because it was, like, a 5 year leading up to that moment. Dang. But everybody else who that I know who's fought is like a week later, they're like, oh no, we're cool, man. Or like a month later, you know, everybody's on good terms now.
Have you ever gotten like wicked heckled, like really bad? Like where
but
you
that's
stopped
the name
though?
Of the game,
no,
right?
No, no, no,
yeah.
To where like
just it rhymed, dude.
Yeah, that was good, Larry.
Thanks, man.
That was nice. Poet.
Should come out to Pluto sometime.
Tell me about the worst
damn,
time.
Pluto, he shortened it, dude.
The worst. Do you remember the worst like heckle you ever got?
The final worst.
I don't know, just the one that affected you the most.
The one that
just
made me the angriest.
There yeah, there we go.
Was it was actually a dude that I was on a team with the next year who was making fun. I did a poem about my sister, and he was making like really crass jokes about my sister, not knowing that she was 6 at the time.
Oh, no.
And
no. No, you know I wouldn't do that.
I know, but when you found out, then you wouldn't.
Oh, no.
When after the fact. No, yeah. I don't and then do family. Like,
he's,
stopped
he has set me up T-ball style to
it
fuck
was,
with his mom,
bad.
And I didn't touch it because I said I didn't know you.
I appreciate that.
So fuck your face. Please continue.
And yeah, like I cussed him out in the middle of the poem, and then when I got off stage, I went and slapped him.
Ooh,
yeah, slam!
And we're cool now.
And now, like, boys, we boys.
And slam. Now you're on the team.
Yeah, and like, and I wound up being on a team with him the following year, which was last year. So that happened the year before.
Did he say? Referring was to? He like? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's why they call you Diamond Cut, girl.
No, he actually slap. Calls me Bling Bling, bitch.
Oh, that's lame. I don't like this guy. Who is he, Shaggy?
No,
is Shaggy?
If he's listening, he'll know who he is.
Hey,
bro, come on, bro. Bling, bling. You should be with us. That's how old you are. Hang out with us. I remember when that happened. What about you, Nathan?
No, nothing too, like, too rememberable. I mean, just certain things when you're in the middle of a poem sometimes, or nothing really too much.
There was one that made me laugh really hard.
How hard?
Like, I had to pause my poem and almost didn't recover. There's a part where I say, like, I don't know what it feels like to be hit with a truck. And I have a friend who has been hit by a truck. And he walked in right at that part, and it was dead silent. He just goes, I do! And walks back out. And everybody who knew the situation just, like, fell out laughing.
That's hilarious. I apologize for the flies. It's summer, so that just happens.
That's
the little flies.
Yeah, there's like a little. I couldn't tell.
I just thought there was like, you know, trash here or something.
No,
I thought it was my breath.
Yeah, I saw what you did there, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's the fucking
Ryan Stout time of the year.
With your iambic pentameter. Fuck y'all, man.
What?
Just every poetry reference you can think of.
Yeah, I'm just picking. I'm just trying to relate to you guys.
Fucking Oscuro shading. That's drawing. That's art. That's not even the same thing.
With your arpeggios and shit.
With your f-stops and your Oscuro shading and your nonlinear editing.
Yeah, I don't get it. So, before we continue with our podcast, and Facebook's for old people, right? Do you guys do that anymore?
Yeah, still do.
Facebook a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Where can people follow you if they want to catch your poems, see your poems, hear your poems, read them? See any art that you guys do? See your selfies with your...
I have a Facebook like page. It's www.facebook.com/DiamondMason.poetry.
Diamond Mason, not the porn star.
Not the porn star.
Okay, I didn't know Diamond Mason was a porn star until you told me.
That shows how old.
I'm not the porn star.
She's new game, so that means you're old. You're out of the game. That's you don't know the
news. That's right.
Cool new things. That means you're doing the same old stuff.
He doesn't know the new shit.
You don't know the new porn stars, apparently, Larry.
No, because I haven't looked at porn ever since I got married.
Little, like, once you find your niche, man, you're there. You don't go outside.
You get attached to a certain person.
Yeah, yeah. Like my wife, dude. Like, that's the only person that I fantasize about.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Andy? Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Only you. Only fucking you. Yeah. What about you, Nathan?
We have a Poodle page, don't we? Mm-hmm. Poodle Slam. We have a Poodle Slam page. We pretty much just post about the Corova every Tuesday. I mean, so we're doing a lot of features this June. I also have an Instagram that's called Mid Awakening. Me and another person on the team called Jessica Tilton, who's my fiance. Aww. Shout out to her.
Nice. Yeah,
I know.
Stop it.
I know.
You don't know who Diamond Mason is either.
I don't know who that is.
Dude.
Yeah, so Mid Awakening, you can follow us. We post a lot about the events that we do with Budo and also other events we do.
So you guys share an Instagram?
Yeah.
Dude, it sucks. Yeah. No, it's creative. That's what she told him.
An artistic collective.
It's an artistic marriage.
I have my own Facebook.
Oh, okay.
He has his own Facebook.
Yeah, whatever.
She has the password to it. She can check it anytime.
She does. She does.
She commented things on the team page, and it's been him. And she's like, "Oh, sorry, guys. I didn't know I was logged
out. I didn't log out. This motherfucker, you're living my life. Look at your future. Look at what I have become."
You should have seen Larry when he was 23.
I had Buddha in a necklace and a septum piercing. Look at our ears. We're the same guy. See that head of hair? Gone, dude.
Oh, man.
Sharing Instagrams. Check, dude. Fuck, man. It's over, dude.
Yeah, lockdown. We have a kid together, too, so.
What?
Yeah. That's what
just
it is.
Just like,
yeah.
I got two now, man.
Shout out to Maxwell.
Max, you're cool, homie.
He's the coolest.
Yeah. You're going to make your dad look like Larry.
Yeah.
No, Max is going to make him like,
I like
know,
that beard, though, man. I think I can rock that.
Max is going to say, you know what? I'm going to make Nathan go, I can rock a beard.
Yeah.
No problem.
I'll say you can't.
Fuck, she's oh, forgot to log out, dude.
I've been there.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, living the dream.
Tilton is the last name?
Yeah, that's Jessica shocking. Tilton.
Is that Tilton?
Nah.
Yeah, okay.
Just we're gonna like throw random accents in here.
Tilton would do that.
Yeah.
So go to Poodle Slam Tuesdays at the Crow at 10 p.m. $1 or whatever you'd like to donate. So fucking show off and donate more than a buck, and all the proceeds go to the trip to Atlanta for the team. What's the team called?
We're going to Oakland. The youth team is going to Atlanta.
The first Inc. is going to Atlanta. We're going to Oakland, California.
Pros are going to Oakland.
Okay, sweet. So support, make sure San Antonio represents in Oakland and that the youth in San Antonio represent in Atlanta. Right?
And you have a GoFundMe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
so where? What's it called?
It's Help Send Puro to Oakland.
We'll put the link up.
Help
Send. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
All right, so we're definitely going to do that because you people that listen, because here's the thing. If you're not from San Antonio or even the Texas area, you know, you can go to the GoFundMe, you know, help get our teams over there. And if you are in the Atlanta, Georgia, or Oakland, California area, go to the Slam and support the San Antonio teams. You want
to
know why?
We'd love to have you out.
Because you're a fan of the Public Access Podcast. Go up to Diamond, go up to Nathan, and be like, we heard about you vegans, and we want to give you a high five. They're not vegans, guys.
Thank you.
Mention Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson.
Kenan what?
Thompson in the GoFundMe, and I will match whatever you donate.
Whoa. Do you hear that, guys? That's a tall order, Regan.
Dude, we'll see.
All right, guys.
I hope you know what you've gotten yourself into.
Jess can edit this out.
That was a challenge.
He's too high.
Good Lord, I owe $400.
Dude.
You can pay it over time. It's okay.
Yeah.
You take credit.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So lump sum payments. So Google search Diamond Mason.
Oh, God. Don't Google search.
Go
what me, Diamond Mason? All right, so Google search Diamond Mason with a safe search off.
On
Diamond Mason
the
party.
The poet.
The party.
Because if you just Google Diamond Mason, some quite questionable things will come up.
Google Diamond Mason at work with the safe search off.
In your boss's office.
With people
on your boss's computer.
Especially if the screen can face your customers.
Yeah, do that, dude.
Preferably, yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
we are not liable if you lose your job.
Well, but it's a pleasure to meet you guys.
Yeah,
ready to rock this Christian podcast. convert some people over to the Republican Party and kick some ass. Thanks for joining.
To the right way.
OxyContin for everybody.
Garza Cruz 2016.
Right, Jess, what do we got?
Hey, everybody! It's time for my topic, my little segment of the show that I like to call "Yeah, I'm looking at that." A segment where I talk about the latest in movies and games. And hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, yeah, I'm going to look into that. So, this week, we're talking about dinosaurs, dino DNA, and dino DNA. And this is because just recently, Pixar's released the trailer for their upcoming movie that's called due out Thanksgiving called The Good Dinosaur.
This is in reference to Jurassic World?
Well, it actually ties into Jurassic World because by the time you're listening to this, Jurassic World is out in theaters with everyone's favorite fat boy, Chris Pratt, and that chick from The Lady in the Water. and lots of dinosaurs. Hopefully that'll be decent. But the inspiration for this topic is not only Jurassic World, but is also Pixar's upcoming The Good Dinosaur, which just kind of sounds like it's like Ice Age.
Except it's like a children's book.
It's a children's movie. No.
It sounds like there's some racial undertones. Like the good anything, really. It's like, are the rest of them bad?
Yeah, that's what it's implying.
I think that's probably the whole lesson you're going to learn. The Good Dinosaur.
All dinosaurs matter.
A spinoff of CBS's The Good Wife, a prequel to the Macaulay Culkin Bad Seed.
The Good Son.
The Good Son. Right on.
Which was a remake of The Bad Seed. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Sweet.
So in The Good Dinosaur, it follows the adventures of Arlo, a Apatosaurus. An Apatosaurus is, they're just trying to get all,
it's just
hip, but that's essentially a brontosaurus. Yeah, that's what it is.
I thought they weren't called brontosauruses anymore.
They're called Apatosauruses now. Apatosauruses.
Judd Apatow.
Like 4-hour movies about their families and shit, so it's pretty good. Apatosaurus. So the Apatosaurus, Arlo, finds a young boy named, it's a little caveman boy named Spot. And
there were no caimans with dinosaurs.
And there weren't even words back
then. Well, because this actually exists. Now, here's the whole thing. Here,
is that historically correct?
Yeah. No.
Is Jesus Spot?
No, it's Adam.
Adam.
Okay.
The Good Dinosaur presupposes is that what if an asteroid did not hit Earth millions of years ago? So that's the premise of the movie. It's in a world existing if an asteroid did not annihilate all the dinosaurs. It's in a world where that didn't
happen.
It's a
fantasy world.
It's a fantasy world.
Dinosaurs existed ever because, as we know, the Earth started, 2,000, 3,000 years?
5,000.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Dinosaur bones are put as a test.
By the devil.
So we can, prove to God that we believe.
Our faith.
Yeah.
The God who visited Colorado.
So Adam, a.k.a. Spot, the little caveman boy who would be in this presupposed world, is on adventures with Arlo where he needs to get him back to his family. It's like Ice Age, I guess, but... Okay. But real. Realistically portrayed dinosaurs that look like Rex from Toy Story. So,
he has a very, very badly broken leg in this picture.
it looks really bloody.
That sucks.
That's the medical term for that is stanky leg.
So how old is that reference?
I don't know, dude.
No, I
love that was way back. With the Poodle Slam kids because they like old shit because they're like, I'm a bully.
Yeah.
I totally get the stanky leg.
They do the research.
Reference. Yeah.
They know what
this
Dukins
was like
are.
My middle school.
They know what Dukins are.
So, in celebration and inspiration from Pixar's The Good Dinosaur, and also the release of Jurassic World, where Chris Pratt rides motorcycle alongside a pack of raptors, which just is...
That's real.
Yeah, that's real science.
Rapid raptors.
That's not weird science. That's real science.
It's yeah. Delphi.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's all about dinosaurs. Dino DNA inspiring this week's topic, topic number one for tonight, and the topic is, what dinosaur would you choose to be an obedient travel companion?
Yep.
And in the movie, Arlo is traveling with Spot on a nice hazy adventures, and Chris Pratt in Jurassic World's got his little pack of raptors riding alongside of him. So it's all about dino companions that are obedient, that will not eat you. You don't have to worry about, they're not going to turn on you and do some shit. So I would kick it off and say, I've always wanted to ride a Stegosaurus.
Yeah, that's every Gunner's
day,
favorite dinosaur.
Every day, all day, I've always wanted to ride
that's
on
really
top
bad
of a
thing
Stegosaurus.
To choose to ride. It's got those plates on its
yeah,
back.
Bro. Yeah, yeah.
And but there's nothing stays. To like...
It's probably fit in
no,
between
you know
the stakes.
On a picture, it doesn't look like there's a lot of space, but Jess could fit in between those,
I can
probably.
Fit, I can fit
sharp
in
blades.
They're
very
really
comfortable.
Sharp.
But they'll be all up in your...
Like, you'd have to hold on to that thing pretty
I good. Can make a saddle for it, and it's going to be all right.
One
I can, like, chisel one down, sand one down. Like,
I don't think
sharp.
He'd let you do that.
No, but he's obedient. That's yeah. the whole
obedient
thing.
Is a, he lets be, you. Like, my dog can be obedient, but he's not going to let me, like,
shave
saw
down
off.
His spine.
Yeah.
Shave
oh,
down
man.
His spine.
They don't have nerve endings inside those spines.
I think it's another think switch my arms and legs.
What are you sitting on that, Jess?
I'm sitting on his neck.
You know, you should make like an over the top canopy side saddle.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm talking, this is real science, not weird science. This is real science.
Like I'll try to come up with better ideas.
No.
That's
shit.
Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Nah, you might be able to get on one of
so
those.
So Stegosaurus would be like the dinosaur version
what about
of
a
like
hammock
the like,
necklace.
No. Of the Mad like it's like the Mad Max car syndrome thing, but it's the Stegosaurus. He's already got spikes. I don't need to put spikes yeah. on something that's already got spikes. I'm riding a real life Bowser. A real life Koopa shell.
There's the how yeah. big you would be compared to a Stegosaurus.
How perfect, tall would I be?
Perfect
right?
Size. Perfect size. He probably won't eat you either. I think they eat like
no, they eat vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables.
Yeah.
You'll be fine
as
at
long
that.
As you're not a vegan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, good
Ooh, yeah,
point.
Exactly.
Smell it on you.
All that Poodle Slam team getting.
They run a top. They get like 36 mpg.
Yeah,
you know, goes about like. Maybe like 10 miles per hour. I don't
miles
know.
Miles per garden?
Yeah. There you go.
No.
So, yeah.
I want to say
stop.
Every previous mic drop, I was okay with that one. I'm not okay with
miles per garden. He doesn't
nope.
gas.
No.
He is gas.
No.
Now.
What?
So, back then. MPGs,
seems like he's reaching.
Yeah.
Little,
yeah.
Nah. That was. I ain't reaching.
You're going to pull, yeah. gonna pull was, something
have
on that reach.
Those commercials with
fuck,
like
dude.
The chocolate ice cream bars and the balloons and they're trying to grab them and you don't reach it. You don't get an ice cream bar.
I don't own a TV.
It's okay. I don't either.
I totally own TV. I'm just trying to make you stop.
I don't either. I'm just yeah. living somewhere that has one. I'm setting up for the next month until I have to be out of there.
God, you're such a poet.
Yes.
You're such a poet.
Stegosaurus, that's my faithful, obedient dinosaur companion.
All See, right. Mine, I'm going to steal everyone's answer, raptors. I want two fucking obedient-ass raptors
uh-huh.
just to, like, walk the side of me like pit bulls.
Like your entourage.
I'd be choloed out, dude, with Lokes, right? And fucking, and a wife beater.
Wait, what are Lokes?
And, Lokes are sunglasses.
How do you spell that?
L-O-C-S. With Lokes on, wife beater.
I feel like he's done a lot of research into how to cholo out.
I think he did. My South Pole
that's
black
a
carpenter's jeans.
I googled Lokes and that's what came up.
And your New York
That's
sneakers.
Locks.
Oh, Lokes.
That's
Those
locks.
Are locks, dude. Those are
but Lokes
beautiful black
person.
Women that like cholos.
Five ways
What's
to
up,
love your
diamonds?
Locks.
How you doing, girl?
Oh, come on.
I think he typed in locks.
Sunglasses.
I get it.
Yeah.
No, but, I put L-O-C-S.
Lokes you know what? You know what goes good
locks.
With those sunglasses is bagels.
Easy E
so
apparently.
Put bagels and Lokes.
Nice. Oh yeah. Yeah. All right. Easy E sunglasses. So rocking my looks
and Easy E sunglasses.
So when fucking Joker and Easy
and
Rider
SatClown 69.
No, I'm SatClown 69. When Joker and Puppet walk down the street with their pit bulls and they're like, "Oh, we're fucking badasses," you know, right, and they're like pretending like, "Oh, I could barely control them." Then my ass is gonna come down the hood with two velociraptors, dude.
Meikle had looks.
Yes, Meikle had looks because I'm the metal with fucking velociraptors. In fucking Southside San Antonio.
That's awesome, man. And then you can get your two raptors airbrushed on the hood of your car.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Tattooed.
Tattoos on them of the Viet Hin and like Jesus on
And
your
their
raptors.
Names would be Dreamer and Weeper. That's
okay, well, one of them's got to have a Hail Mary.
Mm. Yo, no, I have. Oh, they both are wearing rosaries.
Yeah,
right. And then they have. I have my fucking my.
This is awful.
My silver chain, like on them. Dude.
This imagery,
and like anytime someone wears like blue, right? They're all they know what
them. Can they see colors?
They will.
Yeah,
yeah.
They can open doors. They can see colors.
Yeah. I don't know how that corresponds.
They're smart. They're smart. CNI raptors because my looks are so dark.
Nice.
But can they see colors?
Yes. Listen, yes. Guaranteed. I know that for a fact that velociraptors see colors.
That's all I needed to know. Now that whole gap in my knowledge about velociraptors. Yeah.
Read the Bible, man.
You saw Jurassic Park. You didn't read Jurassic Park.
Velociraptors can see colors.
Read the Bible.
As we all know, in general, dinosaurs were thought to have better vision than most other reptiles, but the accuracy of this general rule can vary wildly between species.
So. Duh.
Reek, dino companion.
So in my brain, like, does everybody have dinosaurs? Everyone in this existence?
No,
planet?
You're special.
No, just you.
Travel companion. It's unique. It's your.
Oh,
Mac
it's
and
just
me.
My.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I don't have to worry about other predatory.
Dinosaur, someone with a T-Rex.
Yeah, yeah. Or someone with two.
We're in the same gang, dude.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude.
Anyway, I thought everyone would say pterodactyl. Because if it's, you said traveling, so I immediately went to, like, who I want to travel with.
Is that your answer, bro?
Pterodactyl. I want to hop on them, like, freaking Avatar style and, like, freaking
with
fly.
A P, right?
Yeah.
But what about air pressure and oxygen? Like, you need, like, some kind of flying apparatus. Like 14,000 feet? Everybody knows pterodactyls are going to fly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe somewhat above.
Crop
maybe
dusters,
a few hundred feet above tree level. So
come
I don't
on,
think I'll.
Jess.
All right, you know. So unless I'm up in like the
freaking mountains,
you gotta stick your wiener in their tail like an
I was
avatar.
Just about to say that. Are you gonna bone some chicks on your pterodactyl?
Yeah, bro. Mile High Club, bro.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, which is perfectly okay at a mile high. You're still okay with oxygen. But yeah,
she's not, dude.
She's
so you know.
But I'm thinking reality. Like, what am I gonna feed it?
Right, reality.
What am I gonna feed it? Like,
right. They eat fish.
Yeah, because I like the pterodactyl. I could train my pterodactyl to go just get me stuff, you know? Like fly somewhere, pick me up something.
Yeah. You don't need Grubhub.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah, I don't need Grubhub. Yeah,
Jimmy John's. They will bring it to you.
You don't have to worry about a pterodactyl jerking off in your pizza.
Yes.
That's comforting, man.
You're like, oh, man, I wish Mars delivered. They only pick up.
Yeah.
I like that answer, dude.
Yeah.
What, do you have a name?
Yeah, he'd be called Terry Cummings. But with a P.
Terry.
You guys don't know who Terry Cummings is, right? Yeah, just Google Terry Cummings.
Terry Cummings.
Fuck yeah. I'm all about that. Fuck yeah.
Terry Cummings, you might have known. He played for the Bucks for a while, but he did play for the Spurs.
Wow, why do they only have Bucks pictures? He started as a Buck, but he ended his career as a fucking Spur, dude.
Thank you. He ended his career as a Spur.
Nice.
And so, right there, there's the Terry Cummings I know right there.
Terry
Boom.
Cummings, motherfucker.
But with the P.
Terry Cummings.
Great foe.
But with a P.
I like that. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, Terry Cummings. Terry Cummings.
Ah, the pterodactyl shit on me.
Wasn't shit.
Nathan.
I would just go with the brontosaurus, to be honest. I know that, right. You know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Real chill. I was going to say thesaurus, but that's not a dinosaur.
Because you're a poet.
I would name him thesaurus.
Wordosaurus.
Yeah.
Brontosaurus named thesaurus.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, dude.
I know.
In a poem somewhere. Yeah. Or bring your dinosaur on stage.
My brontosaurus
does that
named
count
thesaurus.
As an animal act?
I think
no
it counts.
Nope. Dolores is a florist.
We should do a group poem.
Yeah, we should.
Half of it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and it just falls up and goes, yeah. I don't know what a brontosaurus sounds like.
I'm the Eminem to your D12, dude.
Nice.
So, brontosaurus named Thesaurus, right? And you would ride on his what? On his back or on the top of his head?
You don't have to ride it. It's a traveling companion. Yeah. You didn't ride the raptor.
You're right.
Well, you can't. Well, I guess
I can. I'm bigger than. So, what would you ride?
Yeah, I mean,
it's his choice.
Yeah,
just depends on the situation, you know. Necklace? Most time, hammock necklace.
Like if he's at a sporting event, and he wants a really good view.
Exactly.
If Large Marge sent him and he was like, he had to pay off his tuna melt, and then Simone was like, let's go talk, he would have a place to go talk to Simone.
Yeah.
The sunrise.
Yeah. Bone chicks are your wife or
fiance.
Yeah, on the top of the brontosaurus.
Oh, yeah.
That's romantic.
Yeah, very romantic.
I don't know, because that's a real being. It's not like a fake. That's like, oh, would you have sex next to your dogs? Like, it's just weird.
Okay,
it's
it happens. Anybody who has dogs has done that. Anybody who has dogs and a sex life at the same time.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. They kind of just sit and watch.
Why did George Washington Carver invent peanut butter? That's the real question.
For dog licking. That's why he did it.
Yeah, that is why. I want my dog to lick my balls.
He had a 100 list. He goes, reason number one.
Well, my dog.
Dogs love it.
I don't think dogs are that bad, but cats, it seems like they know what's going on, you know.
Fuck cats, they're evil.
I've had so many cats, and only two of them were evil. The last one was so evil that I just dropped him
because
in the middle
of
the suburbs.
Like, what happened to the other ones?
One of them got stepped on by a cow the person that lived behind us did 4-H. I was like 12, I'm over it.
Still, I'm not.
One of them got stepped on by a cow, one of them got really sick, the others we had to give away, and then we moved and the outside cat stayed in the neighborhood.
See, and that's what happens, man, because then the cats are like, you know what, fuck them. And then they said, we're going to show them our true colors.
Cats are wonderful.
My last cat was evil. I'm certain that my last cat was sent from hell strictly
They're not from hell. They're gatekeepers to hell.
Okay.
So they're from hell.
They're protectors. Yeah, but
they still work for Satan.
They still work for Satan.
Whatever underworldly being you believe
they're
in, they
contractors
work for
to
them.
Satan. Do you have cats, Nathan?
I do not. I had a cat at one point.
Well, you have a child. She was the best. We want the child to be okay.
Yeah, of course.
Never own a cat. Diamond, if you owned a dinosaur.
I don't know the proper scientific term for him, but like a little mini pterodactyl. Like Petri, like one you could set on your shoulder.
Petri! That's perfect. Mini pterodactyl. What do you call it? They would call it a toy pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl.
A Paris Hilton pterodactyl.
That's cute.
We don't need to throw Paris Hilton.
That's classy.
Yeah, it could be like my messenger pigeon. It could go get...
Pterosaur.
Pterosaur.
Yeah.
Straight from the pterodon.
I like this guy.
Five-sided fist of God. Yeah, dude. It's Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, it is.
And then he could be on stage with you. It's a small. It's not a hindrance. It's not going to scare anybody.
He can go on adventures with me. I can send him.
That is cute. That is really cute.
I can send him ahead and be like, hey, man, check and see if there's any danger, especially during a zombie apocalypse. That would be so helpful.
A mini pterodactyl.
Wow. Yeah. Travel dinosaur companion during zombie apocalypse.
Her pterodactyl could also get food within reason. He can get food.
She could probably pick up one of those salads.
Yeah, he can get one of those salads.
It would be mini pterodactyl, I mean like falcon or eagle size. Perch here, but big enough to fuck someone up.
That's not going
to
carry a 34-inch pizza.
34-inch what?
Pizza.
Oh, okay.
What did you think?
I don't know. Excuse me. Clarify.
That pizza set. Like, were you offended?
Go what me?
Go what me?
Fund me.
There we go.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. .com.
All right. Facebook answers. When asked what dinosaur would you like to have as a traveling companion, Shaggy from Poodleslam said,
"Jesus,
Neil Young."
Oh, bro. Serious.
I like it.
Brian Powell says a comp. Sognathus, often referred to as the chicken dinosaur, probably most known for eating Peter Stormare to death in The Lost World.
The
wire thing.
And then about 2 million people went, oh.
I would travel with it around on my shoulder like a spider monkey, teach it that Jack in the Box gag and how to steal people's watches. All right. Travis K says pterodactyl. I'd like to be able to fly over traffic, and I train it to crap on command in flight so I could do bombing runs.
Specifically on, like, windshields.
He says, on people that screw me over.
Yeah. People who park bad.
Oh, man. He's covered their whole car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Ross Carter said Yoshi.
Yeah. Yoshi counts. Fuck
if I ever come to a gap in the road that's too wide for us to jump across, I could ditch him midair.
Yes.
Send him plummeting to doom and then find him in an egg later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's perfect. Call,
like, yeah.
That noise it would make. Like, it's trying really hard.
Justin Wilcoxon.
Real life, which one is it? Tamagotchi or Neopets that doesn't actually die? It just runs away and then comes back later?
Jess?
No, Tamagotchi's die.
Yeah.
The keychain, right?
Yeah.
Tamagotchi's die.
It's like a real life one of those. You don't take care of it, and then you're like, boom, and then this it comes back all set.
Chick in high school, you know how everyone had little pets, little, like, dogs and cats and stuff? She had a little girl.
That's...
And so you were able to do everything you could do with a Tamagotchi, and I was like, let me see it. Push, push, push. I was just hitting this. Continue.
Justin Wilcoxon, who I need to say thanks to, who was super nice to me and my family one day. So thanks, Justin. Anyway, he said Dinosaur Jr., the band.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
So I could play golf on rooftops.
Nice.
Yeah, and they did that cool song on the Judgment Night soundtrack with fucking Deltron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good track.
The truth, the motherfucking truth.
I bust in your tooth, bitch.
Yeah, that's great. My man.
Ryan Timothy Brace, RTB said Yoshi or a dragon.
Canadians.
Carlos Castro. Carlos Castro.
Dragons in Canadian.
They don't. In Canadia. In Canadia. There Canadian. You go. There
that's
it is.
That's why I picked the little mini pterodactyl.
Old timey.
Still like a mini dragon. I could
got you.
Get.
Old timey Canada is called Canadia.
Yes.
Yeah. Pre 1700, it was referred to as Canadian.
Before it was owned by British.
Yeah.
The British. Yeah, same thing.
Carlos Castro says Quetzalcoatlus.
Yep.
Quetzalcoatlus, whatever.
Yeah.
Debate goes on its actual size, but is generally regarded as the largest of the flying dinosaurs with a 10 meter wingspan. Put a saddle on it and fly it around like I'm recreating a cover art for a heavy metal magazine.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Samantha Lines Reek says, I'd have a velociraptor named Clever Girl, and I would train her to eat pedophiles and zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Or pedophile zombies.
Ooh, those are the worst.
Those are the worst.
Brains.
Yeah.
Children's brains.
Come on, man.
The other zombies.
Come on, dude. Don't you got to tell people who you live around?
And then all of a sudden, let you other zombies know
that I'm moving into the neighborhood. I don't want to be eating brains next to this.
They should make a website. We can find out where you guys are.
Oh, zombie pedophiles.
Hashtag all zombie lives matter.
Yeah. They have lives, bro.
Samson Portillo says Grimlock.
Grimlock.
Yeah, He's a robot. Gregor Pierce says a pterodon.
Yeah, pterodon.
Pteranodon. Are you kidding me? Of all the options, I'd pick the one that can help me fly. How to Train Your Dragon style. Also, pterodons are awesome.
Yeah. Fucking name band after him.
Alfred Pettis says a brontosaurus or some kind of sauropod. I would train him to use his tail like a whip for defense or use his hand and long neck as a bridge.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
That was a fun question, man.
Yeah, I can't reach that vending machine. Once you get up that necky.
Necky?
Yeah, whatever you call it.
Deep throat. That's what I would name my brontosaurus.
All right. That is beautiful. Can I high five you?
Yeah, there you go. So, guys, Pixar's The Good Dinosaur. That comes in Thanksgiving, or you can go see Jurassic World for your dinosaur fix, because dinosaurs are fun and deadly at the same time. So, Jurassic World, The Good Dinosaur. Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Dreamer and Weeper, dude.
It's pretty good. I like it.
Now it's time for my segment called Dad's Cornered.
There we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true. Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
It's my section where we talk about being parents, and finally I am not outnumbered because Nathan...
No, you're still outnumbered.
Yes. We are
it's
outnumbered.
It's just us two, yeah.
Us two, all right.
We have somebody else to be outnumbered with.
Right, no kids?
No kids.
No kids, no kids, no kids.
And no kids, like, one permanently
son.
After
one
Wednesday.
One son, yep.
Not permanently, just for, like, the next 5 years. Anyway.
Permanently enough, that's good.
Straight, yeah. Getting a shot? I got you. You hear that, fellas? So look
off the market.
Don't worry about knocking her up.
The team member that he's not engaged to, I'm dating.
Yeah, there. Good job, buddy. The one team, because you're engaged to how many team members?
Five. No.
So the one team member.
Like this polyamorous relationship that the whole team has going
like
on.
Like a Mormon or something.
Guys, yeah. That's poets, dude. Man. We polyamorous. Get it. That should have been my dinosaur answer. What is polyamorous?
Polyamorous.
What dinosaur would you have been? A polyamorous.
I yeah. bet there'd be somebody out there who would have believed that was a dinosaur.
And what's my polyamorous dinosaur's name?
Deep throat.
It's still yeah. Deep Throat.
It's the
it works both ways.
It does, and they go both ways.
Yeah.
So what I like...
Poets, man.
Poets, dude. Y'all sleep with each other? It's awesome. Make babies, have babies.
Poet babies are so... Like, that happens. And then,
but what are
like,
the names like Emily and Dickinson and
no, it's the like Poe Rider.
That's the Poe ones I know.
Was it? No, Anthony's son's middle name is Windrider.
Windrider?
Yeah.
That's metal as fuck, dude. That's a cool name.
My son's middle name is Floyd. After Pink Floyd, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. My yeah. son's name's Gunner after Leatherface.
Nice.
That's real.
That yeah.
That's metal as fuck.
Texas all these, Chainsaw Massacre.
All these nice. Like metal names. Well anyway. So
we're thinking about naming our kid after like DC comic characters.
You don't have no oh. kid for 5 years, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when in 5 years you're gonna name what are you gonna name him?
You're gonna Dick? Be in something different.
Dick Grayson.
No, not Dick Grayson.
Sean
although,
Aquaman.
Although Grayson I'd be okay with like a middle name or something.
Dick
no,
Grayson.
No, it was like
Mason?
It sucks. He really likes the name Eobard.
Who?
Eobard. Like Eobard Thawne, like the Reverse Flash.
The reverse flash?
He goes super slow.
Is that real? That's what I was going to ask.
It's a real character.
It's a real character.
But that's not, he doesn't go super slow.
Reverse Flash, go. It's like, dude,
it.
He's like right there. Shop! Sucky, it's like Ant-Man.
Or like, what? Jarvis. Jarvis was another one.
Jarvis, nice. Iron Man's helper?
Yeah.
His name cool. is repeated multiple times in the movies, so yeah, that
and
was
like
good.
Every like, there's a whole lot of different. Jarvis
he was a butler though. In the
he was originally yeah. a butler. Yeah,
yeah, I get it. It's like Alfred.
Alfred's still mm-hmm. my favorite Alfred, butler yeah. though.
Well,
although there's a backstory
Marvel's
about Jarvis, that's
Mr. Belvedere,
badass.
Yo.
Yeah. A backstory about Jarvis.
Yeah.
What was it?
Like I don't. You'll have to ask Rainer. I don't know the details on it. All I remember is thinking.
Rainer
really
Shine.
Badass. Yeah, Rainer Shine.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the best poet name ever.
It's R-A-Y, was it R-A-Y-N-E-R-S-H-Y-N-E, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him on the news, and I was like, Rain or Shine, son? Rain or Shine, though? I was like getting ready in the morning to pause it, because I was jumping, I was getting the hype. Rain or Shine, though? It's like Most Def and Busta Rhymes, dude. Rain or Shine. So guys, speaking of TV, kids, my kids, vacation. It's summer. They're watching a lot of TV. Should they? Not really. But do they? Fuck yeah, they do. And I'll watch the TV with them to make sure that what they watch is appropriate. Because some things I'll be like, all right, you can't watch this anymore. Like Sanjay and Craig. I used to let the kids watch Sanjay and Craig. It's a funny fucking show. But it got to, you smell like a butt's butt. And let's go into this guy's butt. And everything was just like,
I'm a butt.
Yeah. Nothing's wrong with butts. But then when Gunner's like going like, let's go in that guy's butt. I'm like, all right, all right, all right, all right. So
let's go what?
Yeah, like
in the butt.
In the butt. What?
In the butt.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna cool it on Sanjay and Craig. Maybe not till he's like 11. And Cartoon Network surprisingly has some pretty fairly appropriate shows. There's stuff that's just annoying, you know. But my podcast question is: name a children's show, because there's cartoons and there's animation. Right, that go, you know, is deep and thought provoking, but it's not really intended for children. Right, so mine is a children's cartoon that is really, really deep.
because I want to talk about Steven Universe. Have you guys ever seen Steven Universe?
I have, yeah.
Right? What do you think about it?
It's bizarre. It's really weird.
It is out there, but it's so charming. It has brought tears to my eyes how charming this fucking show is, because at first I thought it was just, you know, some basic weirdo Cartoon Network type of bullshit, you know, because they have an Amazing World of Gumball.
Yeah, that
right? was. Yeah, it's just kind of just out there. Yeah. Artistically, it's kind of cool, right? Then he had the Angry Orange thing that got kind of old really quick. And then they have Uncle Grandpa, which the title in itself is weird.
That show was really weird.
It's really. They have Pizza Steve. Pizza Steve.
Like the glasses.
Yeah, it's a dude from Workaholics. And he's like, Pizza Steve. And it's, again, it's weird, lots of butt humor and stuff. And it's like, okay. But Steven Universe is about a kid who has a single dad who is a failed 80s rock musician.
What?
Mr. Universe. And so he's Steven Universe. And his mom was what's called a crystal gem, who's named Rose. And what the crystal gems are these alien kind of goddesses that protect the Earth. You have Rose, which is Steven's mom, who gave Steven her gem. And the thing is because she had a child with this with a human, she had to give her child her gem, and therefore she couldn't survive anymore. So he could survive, so Steven's half her. Fuck, right? And then, exactly, then there's Garnet, who's this giant black woman with a British accent, right? Yeah. Big, giant, square afro who kicks ass. And then the two other gems, which are smaller, which is Pearl and Amethyst. And Amethyst is this kind of purple Snooki-esque kind of like a troublemaker, like little chubby thing. And Pearl is this skinny, scared of things. Things have to be in order. And they love Steven. And they love Steven because obviously he's a child. They're helping raise him. But it's because he is half of their best friend, Rose, who is this giant ethereal fucking goddess, right? And Steven is just this, he's a little boy. He's like about 5 or 6. And they live in a beach city, which is just this, you know, literal beach city, a beach town. And Steven tries to be this little boy, but every now and again, these other fucking alien life forms come to try to destroy Earth.
Everyone watch a show based off of you just describing it.
No, I'm describing it, I guess, very well.
Sounds cool to me.
Yeah, thank you.
He's doing a good job.
Thank you.
Nailing a lot of
like
them.
Me is the thing. And so anything that I am a bit enthusiastic about, he's all like, "Are there tits in it?" Like, you know,
that's exactly.
That is what he's saying, but. The beauty of it, right, are the like the charming undertones that all of the like these alien goddesses, they're all women. All of the crystal gems are women. Some other crystal gems come, they're all powerful and they're women. And all the men in the story, they're all kind of weak and kind of I don't know, selfish a little bit, right? And so Steven is the only like boy, and they all have these maternal instincts the way they do with Earth, right? And his best friend is Connie, who's this like Hawaiian or like Moroccan like girl that's like his age, like about 7 or 8, and they become best friends. So the thing about the crystal gems is they're able to what's called fuse, right? Pearl and Amethyst fuse together to become Opal, who's this like combination of the two, and they're allowed to combine their powers and fight if they have to, right? So they were trying to teach Steven how to fuse, and he decides to fuse with Connie. And here's where it gets like really deep, right? He fuses.
I like it even less now seeing pictures of it.
No, it's really good. Don't be like, seriously, you would probably like it, all kidding aside.
I do like what's her name though, the boxhead lady.
Yeah, that's Garnet.
She's alright.
So, and she raps. It's really cool in this British accent. Right. So when he combines with Connie, he becomes this like giant androgynous like creature. Right? And everybody kind of stops in their tracks because of how beautiful she is or it is. And you can't really tell if it's a guy or a girl because it's Steven and Connie. And it's this like love that they have for each other, which makes them able to fuse. And they're going out and dancing, and like everyone's attracted to their fusing. I can't say he or she, right?
and it's very feminine and very confident. And it was like, you could tell that it was teaching kids that like a transgendered person is beautiful, is more beautiful than somebody who's just a woman or just a male. No, I mean, really, because, and she was dark and she wasn't, and she had brown eyes, right?
Which one's the combination?
Well, Garnet's a combination, but that's a reveal at the end. If you put Steven and Connie Fusion, just type that.
It's very Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, does that happen all the time?
No, there's anime undertones to it to the max. So I don't know.
It's a little boy and a little girl
who
fuse together to create a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or to create an androgynous being. Unisex being.
Who dances, who's beautiful, everybody falls in love with.
That's deep.
Yeah, and so that's my answer, is Steven Universe. And I'll watch it with the kids, and I got really fucking into it because I'm used to with SpongeBob and all the other Uncle Grandpa shit.
It was refreshing to see a show with an actual storyline.
Yeah, and it was charming. And, dude, you could see the influence or ripoff of different, like, anime.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, Dragon Ball's 20-something years old. Yeah. I mean, it's the influence should be there.
Yo, I might watch this because he has a thing in his belly button. That's hilarious.
No, but dude, like, they get into really wicked fights. It gets really out there, where it's like, it's surprising that Gunner and Mikey can explain to me what's going on. Like, there's a scene where, like, a spirit animal that follows him around to protect him, and it's this big lion whose hair is similar to his mom's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he puts his head in its chest, he can hear his mom speak, and it's like heaven. But he can't breathe.
Huh.
So he can only be there for a short amount of time. It's like, fuck. And so the kids are kind of, because they understand it.
Right.
And they're explaining these really kind of out there, abstract kind of thinking, as opposed to, oh, that guy's made of farts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's really refreshing to see that. So that's my answer. What cartoon do you think?
Or kids' cartoon show
do you think is really deep, and why?
Yeah.
My answer is freaking Captain Planet. Only because at the time, that was the first freaking cartoon that was like talking about an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cartoon that was like, hey, let's freaking have an entire cartoon based upon environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I think, like yourself, like, I mean, now that you're explaining your thing and about the Steven Universe, it's like, yeah, it's in a way, but this was like flat out just talking about the issue.
Yeah,
this was straight up talking about the issue. In which, you know, G.I. Joe had it to where, like, they teach you lessons at the very end, and, like, other things were, like, even He-Man had, like, you have lessons at the end, but, like, Captain Planet was like, yo, this is
the whole show.
Episode is about you being good in the environment and recycling and doing all that sort of stuff. And I didn't really like the show that much, but
it was garbage. I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was older. Like, that wasn't, like, I was already,
you're like 30.
I was like 25. I was like, that's for kids.
I disliked it so much I didn't recycle.
On purpose.
I purposefully had styrofoam cups.
I just hated it because it was like, heart? Who gets heart? That sucks. That's the worst thing ever. And if I was the freaking dude, they're just mutants, man. They would be they'd just destroy the. Anyway. Captain Planet, because it was the first cartoon that I can remember that was teaching a actual lesson, a valuable lesson. That's my answer.
Yeah. It's kind of two answers, but the quick of the first one is the Animaniacs, because at the time it was I wouldn't say deep, but it had, like, your adult humor in it, but it was in there so subtle for children. Like, it wasn't like Ren Stimpy, it's in your face. Like, all the adult humor is in your face. It's so, like, out there. So is, like, SpongeBob. But Animaniacs had, like little jokes, and the infamous one, there's, like, and I remember seeing it and laughing really hard when I saw it. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe they do that. But it's like, you know, in articles about the Animaniacs is when they were like saying, we're looking for fingerprints. They cut to Dot and she's holding prints, like the artist. And then she says something like, oh, fingerprints. And then they cut to Wacko and he goes, good night, everybody, because of fingerprints. And the way they acted out and said the things, that was the joke. Fingerprints, as in fingering prints, that was the joke, but they
up the did butt?
It. Yeah, but they did it so smooth, and then it was just the whole thing. The whole show is littered with jokes like that. There's a bunch of shit like that.
But deep, though, like that was just adult humor. Deep in terms of like, wow, even you think about it, this is deep. For me, is of course the Alf cartoon, because the Alf cartoon, the Alf cartoon is about Alf at his planet Melmac. For those who don't know, Alf was a popular 80s show. Do you guys know who Alf is?
I know okay. who Alf is.
Okay,
yeah.
Poets, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Like, dude. Alf was the live action Alf was about Alf, an alien. He was a Melmacian from a planet, and his planet was destroyed. His planet was gone. It exploded. And now he's stranded on Earth. That was what Alf was about. So they developed a children's show, a cartoon show, Alf, where it's Alf and his family on Melmac. And to me, it was like when you let it sink in, it's extremely sad and depressing, considering that the show started and ended with real life Alf going, hey, this is like my voice. Memories.
Yeah. Real life Alf going.
People want to know what my family's like in Melmac. So I want to show you what Melmac's all about. And so they cut to like him and Melmac with his family. But you gotta understand, like, his family's fucking dead. Yeah, like, they're all gone. All his friends, all his family, all his adventures.
God. Yeah.
Those are, he's terrifying. Talking about his memories. It's like you're asking some dude, like,
Superman.
Yeah. And so, like, but every show started, like, when the show got started, his little animation.
Tell us about your home planet.
I remember when I was with, you know, my name was Gordon, and then I was with my friends. And he talked, and the whole episode was about his friends and his family. And you got to understand, when he came back, and he's like, that's what my family was like. So every episode is him.
I miss them so much.
Everybody I know is dead, and I'm stranded on this planet where the only thing good I can do is eat pussy. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing you can do.
He
like,
ate cats.
He ate cats. Yeah. So and the layer of Alf that and there's like part, there's an article about it, I think, but I've always thought that. I've always thought how, you know, kind of slightly disturbing it was to create a show about him reminiscing about his family and his friends and his entire civilization, because, okay, yeah, I miss your family. That's one thing. He's the last surviving Melmacian ever. Like, there's no one like him. That's it. That's all that's left.
The Mohicans.
Yeah.
That's deep, yo.
And considering that the TV show ended with him getting caught and it just ended, and that was pretty much like, okay, they knew, they had already implied, like, when the government's going to catch Alf, they're going to do experiments on him, they're going to cut him up, they're going to do this and that. And the last episode of fucking Alf, he's standing there surrounded by a bunch of soldiers, and he's looking around, and the credits roll. That's how the fucking show ended. Now take that, add into the fact that he was reminiscing about the Melmacian family, the cartoon show, the whole thing.
You think the cartoon show is him being interviewed by, like, the government about his former...
Wow.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but they put it in the guys that he was Chicago answering fan deep. Mail.
Deep throat deep.
Deep yeah. throat deep.
So the fan Linda mail was just... That was just them sugarcoating, like, oh, Alf, you got no fan mail. He didn't get no fucking fan mail. The government was just being kind of nice to him. Yeah.
Alf, alien life form. Did you guys know that's
right? That was just, like, the story his counselor told of after they like tortured him.
Yeah. And they made a movie where he escaped. That movie's not canon. That movie's bullshit. The Alf movie's bullshit. He got cut up and died. That's
dissected.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He dissected. So
yeah. Right. Alive.
Yeah. Area 51. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Area 51 very much so. Style. Area 51 style.
I'm gonna go with Rugrats.
Thank you. Right. I was waiting for that. Thank you.
That was like and still is one of my favorite children's show, and I was really happy when my sister started watching it. And I don't know, I've seen a lot of different theories about Rugrats, which is like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it one of them was, Face.
Angela?
Yeah, Angelica.
Angelica.
And she's just crazy, and none of the other characters actually exist, and she's an only child, and her parents died, and this is her, like, making up all of these mm-hmm. friends and family, which was why she's the only one that can understand the babies.
Yep.
And then there's, like, there was one story where it was Chucky's fantasy, and there was one story where it was Tommy's fantasy,
and the twins were miscarriages, that's why it's a boy and a girl. Yeah, Michael Christopher mentioned that on his podcast, so if you guys go to communitygogo.com, listen to the archive episodes, he brings it up. Kind of out of nowhere.
because he's saying SpongeBob. So it was in the context of Nickelodeon cartoons.
But that, and it like, it really, really just kind of inspires that whole imagination thing. And I saw this theory
No, please continue.
I saw this theory that kind of tied in with Doctor Who, how Tommy always has his trusty screwdriver, and there's even this scene in Rugrats where there's like Dalek toys on the bottom shelf when they're in the supermarket.
What toys?
And Dalek. It's one. It's robot. The aliens from Doctor Who. Yeah,
the trash can robots.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the ones that are always like exterminate those. Yeah. But yeah, and how it stimulates imagination and adventure and kids doing something other than sitting on their asses watching TV or playing with a damn iPod. Like, ugh, yeah, that bothers me so much.
Oh, kids, man.
It's deep.
Like, nice. I've been around like 3-year-olds who get iPads for their birthdays and I just want to throw something.
Yeah.
Throw up. I was going to say Teletubbies, but I actually thought of this movie that I thought was really deep. It's not really a kid's show, but it was the people who did the Muppets. It's called Labyrinth. It's with David Bowie.
Of course.
You guys remember this?
Of course.
That movie was so... I don't do drugs anymore, but that movie... Okay. Stop me, right? Yeah. It gets really intense, you know, and I think it has a lot of deep metaphors towards just how we are attached to things and all kinds of stuff, you know. It's really...
About growing up?
Yeah, about growing up.
Grow up, still, like, love and appreciate the things you have, but grow up and, like, be responsible enough to... balance your fun with responsibilities. And
yeah, exactly.
My wife's still afraid of David Bowie. She's afraid that he's going to steal her sister. Her sister's like 25 right now. Yeah.
There's this great scene. It's a great scene. It's a wonderful scene. It's a scene where Jared's the goblin and he's begging David Bowie, the Goblin King, to not throw him in the Bog of Eternal Stench. And when he comes... to beg him, he goes up there and he's crotch level with David Bowie's spandex. So there's like 5 perfect frames of this goblin right next to David Bowie's like fucking perfect patch. Yeah. And I've always wanted to take a still from that and make a shirt and it says it's the goblin logo, but it put apostrophe and it's goblin. And that's what I've always wanted.
That's deep. That's deep.
That is deep.
That is deep.
That is super deep.
That's a mon deep.
Teespring man.
Not the bottom. Eternal Stench! Oh, fucking love Labyrinth. It's so fucking great.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like a kids movie, but it's a kids movie.
Jim Henson, bro.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, the whole... her baby brother gets stolen.
Yeah.
Her brother gets abducted.
But, yeah, and she wishes him to go, actually. Yeah, I always thought that was really messed up, you know? It's just like, what the fuck kind of sister?
Yeah.
Really weird.
I'm sure there's plenty of... Yeah. People who wanted their younger siblings to disappear.
Like, I wanted to disappear.
Yeah, like Josh Duggar.
No.
Here we go.
I mean, now.
Well, no, after.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, Facebook answers. Stacy Medina says, Ni Hao Kai Lan. It's been years since I've had to sit through it, but I remember there being some kind of lesson learned by the end of every episode.
What is it?
Ni Hao Kai Lan?
My sister used to
watch it.
Oh, is it like
that
Asian Chinese
girl?
Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Travis K says, Hey Arnold was extremely deep. It had excellent music that was too jazzy for most kids to appreciate. The storylines were universal and could be applied from kids to adults.
Wow.
Josh Napoleon says, Adventure Time assigned a different philosophical way of thinking to each main character for the season finale. Not sure if kids are the demographic for that show anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Samantha Lyons Reek says, Watership Down. I'm not sure if it was really intended for small children, but it had some pretty heavy themes for an animated movie. Genocide, tyranny, fields covered in blood, and rabbits dying all over the place. I remember watching when I was 4 or 5 and getting freaked the hell out. What the hell is Watership Down?
No. I don't know.
It was a book, and it was a book about, it was like everything she said, but it was in the world of rabbits.
Think
of it like Watership Down's not so much a kid's book, it's like Animal Farm.
Okay.
Like it's young adult reading, but they made an animated film about it, and people, it's that whole thing in the 80s.
When animation, you automatically think
it's for kids. Watership Down was not necessarily made for kids,
but it's bunnies.
It's bunnies, and it's a cartoon, and you see it's
bunnies.
It's
wow.
It's a dark
bumper.
Movie.
That's straight up bunnies.
It's a dark movie. It's a dark movie.
There's a dead. Okay, wow. Yeah, Watership Down
looks brutal.
Yeah.
That was on like some random listicle about movies you should watch that were on Netflix at one point in time.
Is it still on Netflix?
I might go watch it.
If it's on Netflix, you've never seen Watership Down, I recommend it.
All right, Samantha. I might go watch it.
Good answer, Sam.
All right, Carlos Castro says Exo Squad. Remember that? It had characters displaying a full spectrum of human emotions, relationships, and experiences such as friendship, love, hatred, personal tragedies, treachery, and taking responsibility for others. Prejudice and racism are reoccurring themes in the series.
Fuck, wow. Dude.
I remember Access One. Gregory Pierce's DuckTales. Yeah. It's amazing going back and rewatching the show and realizing just how kind of dark and grown up the storylines were. Yes, you have your childish parts and characters, but they had so many elements about greed, love, loss, you don't even notice it when you're younger.
Woo!
Shaggy from Puto Slam says, I wrote my PhD thesis on all that and its effects on migration patterns in Lesser Sudanese Valley. Yeah, really? Plus, that one genius comic was in the cast. What was his name?
Keenan Ass Thompson.
Justin Wilcoxon says, and that's why we don't introduce the host of Slam as Dr. Shaggy Puto Slam Gossip. Thesis rejected. That's hilarious. Jessica Gianna says, Mr. Rogers, he showed how crayons are made.
Yeah, he showed some shit. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he was just a good guy.
He was the how it's made before.
Yeah, he was how it's made before. Yeah, exactly.
Here's why my wife's a bitch.
He was like, the dude's name is the
Mark Summers?
Painter dude.
Oh, Bob Ross?
Yeah, he was like that, but for random shit for kids.
Bob Ross is for kids.
Bob Ross
was. Well, he was
that's for
he was
adults trying to learn how to paint.
Yeah, it's picture pages for adults.
It was specifically for painting. I feel like Mr. Rogers was like a different spectrum of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Alfred Pettis says, Animaniacs was amazing. I'm not sure what its demographic was, but there was some real great deep stuff.
Oh, there. Boy.
I learned.
Learned all about Orson Welles because of Animaniacs.
Was it yeah. That song they do, like all of the nations, all of the nations of the world. Oh, I had yeah. Half of that memorized at one point in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Acme.
That's cool. Steven Universe, huh?
Steven Universe,
I think
dude.
That's one thing that's lacking from lots of kids shows. I never watched it, but the kids show that I hear a lot about that adults like is Avatar. Not the movie, but the Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think that's something that kids miss out on is shows that have story arcs. Like, I think even, like, X-Men before, like, the huge comic book explosion, I think X-Men was probably a hit because it was characters that had story arc and they evolved. And they're like, what happened in the previous episodes mattered later on. I think that's something that's missing from a lot of kid shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's telling kids about
like
storytelling.
An actual plot.
No, but you need to have, like, an attention span that lasts very long.
So you know how you get that is you make shows that require that.
Yeah, well, you make shows that are 15 minutes long because that's the thing about Steven Universe.
It's 15 minutes it's 15 long. 15 well, so minutes so long. Is Adventure Time. I think a lot. Yeah. I think that's the format
it's a
for a lot of
Network.
Yeah,
I think it's
yeah.
Shorter attention span.
Yeah, and also shout out. I was waiting to see if somebody said it was Gravity Falls. I've pushed Gravity Falls to you guys. It's a little bit more comedic. It's on
band?
Disney.
I like
XD.
It. Yeah, the
yeah,
Haunted House. Like industrial techno mm-hmm. band?
The no, Haunted that's House Gravity thing. Kills.
Close.
Yeah, it's very close. But Gravity Falls is awesome. It deals with a lot of like folklore and stuff like that. And it's strongly comedic. Brian Posehn's in an mm-hmm. episode and stuff like that. And it's goofy. You know, but it also gets really deep. It goes into some of the, you know, characters' childhoods. It explores, again, the not even kidding. There's an Illuminati character. There's this triangle has a top hat and a monocle like the peanut guy who possesses – like it's out there. And so
I've
there's
– like three episodes of that and I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, Gravity Falls is fucking awesome. So Gravity Falls and Steven Universe I can watch with the kids.
And I'm really glad
day.
Like that's something too about like going back to Dragon Ball. I think that was the kind of thing that they started to – that was good for kids was their imports of cartoon shows that were for kids.
Yeah.
Because of that whole story, like shows that had story arc and actually they had characters that were, you know, they died. Like they actually like went through lots of stuff and they died and they never saw them come back. But in Dragon Ball they did. But like to have shows that had stuff
watch
like that.
Watch Steven Universe, watch Gravity Falls, watch Captain Planet even
don't
though
watch
it sucks.
Don't watch Captain Planet.
Just be
watch
good to the
Avatar.
Environment.
Watch
just reduce, reuse, recycle. Good.
Watch
good.
The last episode of ALF. Watch Labyrinth with your baby sister or brother and watch Rugrats and look how fucking dark it is, man. But regardless of who you watch it with, make sure it's with your kids so they don't play outside because it's hot. Parenting.
It's acceptable in San Antonio.
Parenting. That's right, man.
Hashtag parenting.
Keep your kids inside, especially in August.
Yeah, and from January to August. Yeah, parenting. Fuck it.
All right, now it's time for my segment of the show called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that is not funny. And today we're talking about a scientific article that comes from the Journal of Cognitive Neuroscience, which talks about scientists have found a signal in the brain that reflects young children's aversion to the opposite sex. So they found that it comes from the amygdala, which
Medulla?
Yes, of course. It was made famous from The Waterboy. The amygdala effect, which they originally thought was a threat detector, but now they're showing that the amygdala is actually a significance detector. So at some point, they're showing that within your sort of lifespan, they have a little chart here. You can we posted the link on the website. Children up until sort of the age of 4 or 5 don't really see the opposite sex as a thing. It's not a significant thing up until that point. And then it starts decreasing to where once you start getting closer to puberty, it becomes a very significant thing. Mm-hmm. So they talk about what they call the cooties effect, which is kind of fun. You can read all about it in the article. But it just comes it brings up my topic for today, which was how old were you when you went from thinking kissing was gross to wanting to kiss? And it'd be interesting. I'm really interested to hear you guys' answers. And the more I thought about it, the weirder, I don't know if it's weird, and this is what we'll kind of be talking about, is I remember liking girls really, really young. Like, I remember liking girls in kindergarten. Like, I remember, and not, I mean, of course, I didn't know anything about what you're supposed to do with them or like, but I just knew that I was like, you know what? I like that girl. Like, I like her, and I want to, like, I guess you don't know though what you're talking about.
What you're supposed
to do. Because I want to be with her.
Weird feeling.
Yeah. Right? Like, magnetism. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I never had cooties. I never thought of cooties. I never was like, ooh, girls are gross. I thought, like, girls, they're pretty cool, man. Hey, yeah.
They were specific people.
Like, I always thought that from a very, very young age. I want to say kindergarten because I remember like, it's so weird how you think about when you're little children, but like, I remember me and a couple other boys talking about a girl, like talking about, like, I don't remember her name, but like, oh man, you know, like Susie, like she's cute, right? Or so, I mean, that's of course a conversation that's going on in my brain, but if you were to go back to when I was like 5 years old,
she's pretty. Yeah, it's
like, she looks fun. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I want my mom.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So yeah, my answer is like super, super, like, how old were I never thought it was gross is my answer. I don't ever remember thinking kissing, or I mean, not specifically kissing, but girls were gross. I always, once I found out that kissing was a thing, I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Like, that's what I want to do.
There's
with girls.
There's a thing I can do with these feelings?
Yes, exactly. I can transmit them physically. Yes, let's do that. I'm on board. So that's my answer, is like super, super young.
Well, I second that emotion. I never went through the cooties phase either, which is now prevalent in my son, who's 5, who loves women, and not girls,
yeah, I was gonna say,
women. He likes grown women. He thinks they're beautiful. He holds their hand, calls them his princess and stuff, and he's his little charmer. And
it's going to be a lady killer.
Yeah, man, and it's a bit of a problem. Like, it's kind of cute, but like sometimes he's like, you know, giving girls kisses on the cheek. He's whispering to them, when I grow up, I'm going to buy you flowers, and like making these girls
talking mad game,
mad game. And here's the real talk: is it's cute as fuck. But if it was my daughter getting, you know,
Gunner was somebody else's son.
No, if some little boy was doing that to Mikey,
tell me you can buy flowers.
Yeah,
and you're gonna buy flowers. You ain't got no job, motherfucker. Yeah, talking about flowers. Would you go pick her flowers? Nah, but she needs somebody with a job, motherfucker. He ain't no Christian.
And he say he a Christian.
He say he a Christian.
That boy ain't no Christian. Sorry,
that boy ain't no Christian. Buy no flowers, motherfucker.
So that's the truth, you know, behind it. And so when I was a kid, you know, it was bad because, you know, we were playing underneath the table when I was in kinder. There was some chick grabbing our wang and stuff, and she was 5, and it was early.
Yeah.
And so, and she was fucked up in hindsight, obviously.
You're doing this to be 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's 2 different routes, but yeah, one of them definitely is she was messed up.
Yeah, she was messed up, poor thing. But at the time, I didn't know what the fuck was happening. And because from when I was kindergarten to 9th grade, all I wanted was a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, the cooties years, I was buying, I was that one kid that came in with like a box, a heart shaped box of chocolates for my crush.
Ooh.
You know, and classy flowers and
and like I told a story about buying a diamond bracelet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Oh,
and so I have always been a romantic guy, and I've always liked girls. And so the whole cooties thing, I don't get. They try to do that with Gunner, like I was saying. He's like that, and my wife's uncle was like, "So do you like girls now?" Expecting the no. Yeah. Right, and Gunner goes, "Yeah, a lot. I love girls.
I buy them flowers,
right?" And then it was funny because my wife's uncle goes, "You don't think girls are gross?" And he goes, "Girls are beautiful.
Yeah.
Like real. Like what the fuck, man?
You talking about?
Your girls ain't gross.
Yo, you've seen that girl?
Yeah." So
all right,
never.
Good. Okay, seriously, makes you feel better then.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, no, same thing. I think it was always like second grade. I guess like I don't even know it. Kindergarten, whatever. I don't know. Kid, yeah.
Kathy, how old were you?
That was
Kathy?
Third grade, all and right. So yeah, all right. And that means I already liked Kathy prior to taking. I liked a girl when I was in third grade, and then she took tap dancing, so I took tap dancing.
Nice.
There's a good story.
But it was the wrong class.
It was the wrong class. She didn't take tap dancing. She completed in classing, but because I'm a person who believes you should finish when you start, I stayed in tap dancing. Class in third grade,
even at 8 years old.
Yeah,
I'm a fishes class. Yeah, exactly.
I'm in class
with Bojan.
Yeah, yeah. Name of the show is called Standing Room Only. Standing Room Only. Yeah, it was a very show tuney type of thing. Yeah, I remember. I totally remember the name of the show because I just remember the ending because it was jazz. Jazz hands. Standing room only.
It pays so much to see that.
Kathy, I did not. So, anyways,
she did good vibrations in the hip hop class.
She dropped out. She was a bad girl. That's why I liked her.
Kathy girl.
I love girls. I think for whatever. Yeah, the same thing. Like Regan described it perfectly. Like I would like what it. What do you do? Kiss? Hold hands? Like I just want. Yeah, I'm in. I want to be in the girl's company. And like Gunner, like that meant actually like women too. Like I like the attention of older women. Yeah, like
that might be a different thing because I don't ever remember liking older. I never liked older women either. That I guess I was kind of creeped out by.
I was always about girls my age.
Yeah.
Like I don't mean to take it to this path, but like there is this stupid fucking old comedian who was talking about that shit that happened with Josh Duggar. And she actually posted, she's this Republican chick, and she had posted, for everyone talking about Josh Duggar, you all remember when you were 14, y'all weren't saints, right? And it was like, what the fuck, right? Like, it was the dumbest shit I'd ever heard this.
Yeah, because she was likening, like, you know, because the fact of the matter is there's 14 and 50 year olds having sex.
Yeah, and that's what she was alluding to.
Yeah, but that is
the argument is obvious. Yeah. It's like, I wasn't thinking about a 5 year old, and I definitely wasn't thinking about my sister.
Yeah.
So it brought the whole reason why I bring that up is because. When I was 14, I was thinking about 14-year-olds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because 13-year-olds to me were gross because like
they're younger.
They're younger. Yeah. Seventh graders, right? And then the 15-year-olds were like, dude, I could never land a fucking sophomore. Exactly. It only stuck in fucking 1980-81.
My first teacher crush, I was 17. Like, I never understood people who had crushes on people, like, a decade older than them. It just didn't click in my head.
I'm the same way.
But then I turned 17, and I was so head over heels, and anyways. But, I never had a boys are gross or a girls are gross. I was 5 when I had my first kiss. I mean, watching Bambi, I'm pretty sure Bambi's mom was getting shot as I was getting my first kiss.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Opening scene. He did it
right off the bat. Y'all weren't there to see Bambi, girl.
He said, like, in hindsight, he set this whole thing up. Like, his mom would babysit.
He was the gunner.
It was my friend Michael, and he was 5, and his little brother is Nigel, and they were, like, my two really good friends.
I know you're talking
his
about.
Parents.
No, just kidding.
No, different Michael.
Mike and Nigel. Yeah.
But no, his parents babysat me, and my parents babysat like their kids, and I was over there, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go upstairs and watch a movie?" I was like, "Yeah." And Nigel was like, "Can I come?" He was like, "No."
Straight up.
And so we went like right upstairs, and he had these two like those little kiddie lawn chairs, like the blue and red ones.
Kitty. Oh,
lowers the lights.
Yeah, he turned the lights off and the TV screen. It was like one of those 13 inches all the way across the room that you had to squint. And so he's sitting next to me, and he goes, "Hey, do you want a kiss?"
Straight up.
Nice. And I was like, "Yeah." Damn. And then he leaned in and he gave me a kiss. And then he goes, "That was nice. Do you want to do it again?" "Yeah." "Hey, Mom, watch this." And then his mom comes in the room and he gives me another kiss, and she goes, "Oh, that's nice, honey. Don't do that again." And so she tells my mom when she gets there, and my mom goes, "Honey, that's very sweet, but right for now, we're only going to kiss boys on the cheek." And I said, "Okay," and I gave him a kiss on the cheek and went home, and that was, like, I don't even think we did anything after that. Like, I completely forgot that that happened the next week, and we went back to being whatever.
Just friends.
But after you still that, know him? No, we lost touch when we moved out of that neighborhood. Yeah. That was a while ago. I was like five. But yeah, and I was in that, like, I had my first girlfriend.
Like, if you're listening,
you and Nigel.
And the little brother.
I know, right? You've been Googling Diamond Mason. And being like, "Yo, that first kiss set her off."
Oh, that was awful. No. But yeah, I also, like, I remember when I was five, I didn't know what it was, but like, at that age, I thought females were attractive also, and I didn't know what to do with that.
Right.
I was like, I didn't know what that feeling was to tell myself that I shouldn't feel that. I just didn't know what that feeling was.
Yeah.
And, like, Miss Bellum from Powerpuff Girls, the redhead with the legs.
Yeah.
That was
all
like,
about it.
I was just head over heels. Yeah. Like, you never even saw her face.
Exactly.
It was just legs and
mini
hair. And I really liked watching the episodes of Powerpuff Girls with Miss Bellum in it, and I didn't figure it out until I was like 17, and I was like, that's what all of that was about. Yeah, I came out of the closet, and all my friends were like, "We expected this."
My friend Corey, who worked with me back in the day at a movie theater, he was saying, he was like, he found out he was gay when he was like 5 or 6, when his mom would watch soap operas, and he was like in love with the guys, and he was like, "I didn't know what it was. I just wanted them to like me. I just wanted handsome men to like me." And so then he didn't know that was gay until he became a teenager. But yeah, his whole life,
I
he
didn't
was
know.
Just
that's
like,
how I felt about females. I was like, and once I didn't know what it was, I was like, no, like, I just can acknowledge an attractive female. And then as I grew up, I was like, no, that's not acknowledgement, honey. That's attraction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you're making out, it's like, I am acknowledging
your beauty with my tongue.
Yeah. And us moving in together.
That's very poetic.
That has been considered a lesbian poem.
It's a good poem. I like that poem.
I'll watch that poem.
I'll watch a video making that poem.
So Google.
I'm gonna Google that poem.
Acknowledge myself to that.
Oh God.
As long as you don't acknowledge yourself with your tongue, then I never.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you could, call me.
Marilyn Manson style.
Candy Butcher's coming, show back up soon. That may be a good attraction.
Yeah, that'd be good for the sideshow. Suck your own dick.
Hey, then. Cooties.
No, man. I never had it. No. I don't recall ever being like, oh, this is not, I don't know, feeling weird about it. You know, I remember liking girls like in third grade and having crushes on girls, having girlfriends real young. And it's just,
did you?
You're that dude?
See, I the opposite of that is I never felt like liking boys was weird, but I was like the only one out of my friends who wasn't in a rush to get a boyfriend. I was just like, I don't need that in my life right now, guys. Like, I was
this division shit is difficult.
Long division, motherfucker. Do you know what the answer to this is? Well, neither do I. Quit staring at Bobby.
Bobby, do you know fractions? I don't want to kiss.
I want to understand it.
fraction.
What's 81 over 9?
Yeah, I was the late bloomer. I didn't have a like official boyfriend until I was like 16 or 17. And that was a huge mess anyways.
Yeah. Well, usually it's usually a mess. Exactly. Yeah.
That is. I had a girlfriend in third grade. In third grade?
Yeah, it turns out she was with other people as well. So it was kind of weird.
Did you give her the big Valentine? You know how it came with a longer one?
Nah, I don't really recall. Maybe. It might have.
He did. So you hear that? A room full of romantics is what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. Did you call her your girlfriend to like your parents?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't recall. I call it to my friends, definitely. Okay. Like people in the class, you know. But
because I hear with my nieces and nephews,
my girlfriend.
Like my sister in law will be like, oh, you know, your nephew, he has like two girlfriends in his class. Like, and that's what like he called them, like his girlfriends. I'm like, that's weird.
Grade school is together. They're together. Never said
going around.
Together. Yeah.
Like that's such a so I discovered this recently over like the last 5 years is like casual dating in the South is just not a thing. Like you can't.
Where are you from?
It's not Christian.
I'm from here, but my mom's from New York. My dad's from Baltimore. And, like, I have a lot of friends on the East Coast. I have a lot of family on the East Coast. And so, like, I hear a lot of stories like, oh, I was taking so-and-so out on a date. And then I was taking so-and-so out on a date. And then I was taking so-and-so
out on a date. We see that on movies and on TV shows.
Yeah. And that's just never been a thing in, like, my life.
Down here, you're a slut.
And so, yeah, like, casually, like, I went through this phase in my life where I was casually dating. I went out with a couple of guys. And I'm like, oh, man, I got a whole lot of, like... I was like, I haven't slept with any of them.
We're just going out.
Yeah, we went out for a couple of drinks.
Yeah. Olive Garden.
Out. Yeah,
such a taboo thing.
I'm sorry, Sonic, Dragon.
Olive Garden's real shit. That's an
anniversary. Right now they got that two for $25. You can take her out, feel special, and not break space.
Not 25.
Olive Garden.
Two for 25.
That's a wedding. That's a wedding.
That's wedding.
Wedding reception.
Wedding.
When?
Nice.
Rehearsal dinner.
Homie. Those breadsticks, though. No, Gunner's girlfriend's 16.
Yeah.
Straight up. Yeah, she was in my daughter's roller derby team. Yes. No, I swear to God she knows because...
Is it on Facebook?
No, I saw it happen. Like, we were going out of town for a roller derby meet or whatever, and he said something. He sat next to her because, you know, she's a pretty girl, and he said something and made her laugh, and you just see his face just like... this is gonna happen forever, and so he just finding excuses to touch her arm and stuff, and then she said something to the effect of, "Oh, Gunner, I wish all guys were like you," because of course he was saying she was beautiful and you know all this stuff like that, and she goes, "I wish I could find a boyfriend like you," and then Gunner, and he was like three, like he's five now, and he said something to the effect of, "I'll be your boyfriend,"
nice,
and then she was like, "Okay, you're my boyfriend, and I'll be your girlfriend." And he took that very seriously. So where if you ask my son, what's your girlfriend's name? Oh, her name's Ivy. Yeah, for years. And they haven't seen each other in forever. And like, he's loyal.
He's still loyal.
She gets the big Valentine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, no. He puts Valentine's aside for her.
Nice.
That's so cute.
That's really nice.
When I was six, I told my mom I was going to marry my best friend. And she asked why. And I told her because he makes me laugh. And she goes, remember that when you're 20?
Yep.
And I did.
Yeah, the ugly guys. Marry us.
The ugly guys.
We'll pay your mortgage.
How guys can say that they have a girlfriend and it means that you're in a relationship with that person, but a girl can be like, I have girlfriends, and like a guy can't be like, I got boyfriends, you know. I got like
boyfriends.
We're partners.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Boyfriends.
I got several boyfriends.
Yeah. Fuck buddies.
Yeah.
All right, they fuck around. So fuck buddies. Yeah.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Facebook answers. Shaggy says the first girl. No, this is a real answer. Okay. The first girl, right. I think, I don't know. The first girl I wanted to kiss and actually got to kiss was Jennifer, and I was in kindergarten. We kissed while playing with her Fisher Price barn.
That's cool. One
that said moo when you open the doors on a rainy day after school at her house while I was waiting for my mom to pick me up. So I guess I was five. P.S. I started growing my beard the next day. Brian Powell says it's still gross, but I like it. Like corn dogs.
Yeah, all right, I get that. Corn dogs.
Everyone, Urban Dictionary, corn dogging.
No. Yes. Stacy Medina. Stacey Muniz is 14 going on 15. I'm sure I didn't think it was gross at that age, but I didn't care about that stuff until then. So I guess that's when she actually wanted to.
Care,
I
had my first
real
yeah.
kiss when I was 15. It was a good...
Like a real thing.
Yeah, my first real kiss, I was 14.
Here you go. Travis K says, I never thought it was gross. I came out of the gate knowing that I wanted to have a girlfriend. All right. In third grade, our teacher told us to make a collage of our favorite things. Other kids had food or dogs or cars, but not me. I had a paper full of ladies. Did I get in trouble? Yeah. Worth it? Hell yeah. Too bad my first kiss wasn't until I was 18. A little bit longer. Worth it, though.
Worth it.
Worth the wait.
Fucking worth the wait, dude.
Carlos Castro says, when I was 5, I made out with a classmate. Her mom was not happy and kicked me out of her house. It hard out here for a pimp.
Yeah, the mom kicked her out because the dad attempted to, and Carlos stood up to him at 5 and humiliated
it's
the
like, dad. The women no kids, all right, I'll let you in. Samantha Lyons Rake says, when I was in kindergarten and during a game of kiss tag, what? That's a thing?
Kiss tag. Oh.
I gave my first crush a running tackle and a lip lock. I thought that was just how you did it. Pretty sure that's why I didn't date until after high school.
Man, that's why I like Kathy a lot, because she punched me a lot. I like,
she liked you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why I never had it. All of the boys thought I was too violent.
I was the tomboy.
I hit this dude that I like specifically. I had a huge crush on him, and I was really rough. I got physical. Even like my boyfriend now will attest to that. Like I was very violent.
He complains about it all the time.
I'm not anymore. But apparently, when we first started talking, I was a lot more handsy and not in a good way. But I was in an airport on like that little walking thing, mashit, whatever, and he was like, yeah man, you're cool and I'd totally date you if you weren't so fucking violent, and that like broke my heart a little bit because I was about to ask him out like that weekend. I just went,
bitch.
I smacked him in the arm and turned around and tried not to cry.
Should have said, I'll stop hitting you if you stop being a bitch. And
I was too heartbroken to put on a tough facade.
You hear that, fellas?
All right, Gregory Pierce says,
rose for my favorite piece of white trash.
Oh, jeez. Gregory Pierce says, I think I was around 13 or 14. So it was about the time that people started either getting into those pre-relationship type of pairings, and I realized that I was starting to fall behind because I didn't have a significant other due to my lack of wooing potential. Honestly, it was probably just me wanting to catch up like everybody else. So that's a later person, 13 to 14. Mm-hmm. Andrew Thomas says, I remember that my first kiss was when I was in kindergarten, was all into it. Then after you learn shame, things change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next time was probably when I was 11. That Sailor Moon wanted a Mac on her. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Sailor Moon. And Alfred Perez says, I think it was in 7th grade, and she was a band nerd like me.
What up?
Yeah. Cute. Band nerd?
That's cute. Well,
did you have to play at all the graduations?
No.
Okay, good.
Dang, that would be intense.
Right?
That
I just learned really about intense. That was a thing.
Yes,
I
had to do that.
No, I did like twice.
Band?
Every single
We did
graduation.
Have to march twice. the Fiesta Parade, though.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. In the heat? Uniform. I wound up in the hospital. What? Yay, dehydration.
Nice.
So, kissing cooties and the amygdala.
Nice.
That's not funny.
It ain't?
No.
All right. Well, this has been a wonderful podcast, guys. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I'm not sure if you were aware that Public Access is actually an educational program. All of, we try to teach people things, you know. So we ask our guests and we ask ourselves, what did we come to know? On this podcast, what made you come to learn something different about yourself, us, or life in general? So ponder that for a little bit with your poetic minds to come up with a very iambic pentameter-y answer. Jess, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that I've always liked women or girls. It's a good question. I was like, I think the answers is going to be all across the board, like, I've always, whatever.
Well, it's weird. I thought it wasn't. Like, for me, I was like, man, maybe I was weird for always liking girls.
I never questioned it until, like, today. Yeah. I never thought about it.
So when asked about it, I kind of just thought, I was like, was it third grade? Was it second grade? I was like, no, that means I've always had to have liked girls. Always. That's something that's learned about myself today. Self-learned.
I learned at the Corova, formerly the Rudamaya, formerly River City Cabaret, has a basement that they do poetry in. And I am still curious and have yet to learn what was that room before.
Mm.
You can probably. I don't know. Who will know? I don't know if anyone.
The ghosts that live there.
Okay.
We'll ask them on Tuesday.
Yeah, we gotta summon their spirits.
Yeah. Please do have a seance. A Ouija board.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Ouija board.
I'm oddly down.
A Ouija board.
I won't do a Ouija board. Slam. Those seance things slam.
Oh, I would never do a Ouija board.
No,
I'm a Christian. Yeah. Garza Cruz 2016.
I've come to know several things. I've come to know a lot of interesting new cartoons, like Steven Universe. I learned about Catbug. That's a thing. And Watership Down is a terrifying bunny cartoon.
Yeah, yes it
all
is.
All different things that I've come to know. I've also come to know that Terry Cummings was Rookie of the Year. Did not know that.
Yeah. With the Bucks?
Yeah, wow. Terry Cummings. Not to be confused with my pet pterodactyl, yes. Terry Cummings.
Yeah, Terry Cummings. It's pronounced Terry Cummings. That's genius.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I come to know.
Fuck yeah.
Nathan?
I've come to know that I should watch more ALF cartoons. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just watch more cartoons with my son in general. Being a parent is pretty awesome in that way.
Your son would enjoy my show. Call 1-800-COLLECT.
He's 18 months.
He'll totally get out.
It's great because I could do kid stuff and it's just like it's appropriate now, you know? It's like, I got a kid. I like going down this little kid water slide. It's what I do. So
yeah, hell yeah.
It's great.
I have come to know that there was an ALF spinoff that I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. ALF cartoon. Surely was.
Absolutely.
On NBC mornings.
Nathan, what you should learn is to get you on Instagram.
I had one on.
I've also come to know that Nathan and Tilton share an Instagram.
We do.
Share.
She's a thug, man. I like her.
She's great. Yeah.
She's great.
I love you. I love you, babe.
I was totally stalking on her engagement ring on Facebook the other day. God, that's so pretty.
It's cute.
Having one of those days.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon.
Sharon, like, the name or, like...
Sharon.
Sharon and Instagram.
I thought you were fantasizing about Sharon.
Sharon. So that's right, guys. Sharon, if you're in the San Antonio area... on a Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
go to Put a Slam and rhyme with Tuesday.
And rhyme with Tuesday.
And go to the Corova, listen to Diamond, listen to Nathan and all the great poets at Put a Slam. Sign up. Give it a try if you think that you could do it because it's open to you. And
most
donate.
Likely won't get heckled if it's your first time, but no promises.
Right, especially if you suck.
And remember to go to their GoFundMe, mm-hmm. at GoFundMe for, what is it again, one more time?
Help Send Puro Slam to Oakland.
Help Send Puro Slam to Oakland GoFundMe.
And it'll be up on our Facebook page sometime within the next 24 hours.
We will post
it's on
that.
My page.
We'll post the link.
Yeah. Link. You will have seen the link prior to listening to this episode.
And remember, if you mention Kenan Thompson, I will match any donation.
So there's a comment section there on the GoFundMe page. If you throw any Kenan Thompson reference, Regan Arevalos will match you. So if you throw $100
I'm like NPR,
towards
bro.
A Puto Slam
or TPR
GoFundMe.
I'm like the rich dudes that donate during pledge season, bro.
No, I got you, homie.
Yeah.
So he's going to match you, man. He's going to match you
for real.
He's going to match you real good. So yeah, please donate and Google Diamond Mason. And
Jesse search off in public her face and
I've watched a cool kind of facial expression she makes. So Google Diamond Mason facial.
If you're a professor,
facial.
Put it on like projector before class. Yeah, projector
Diamond Mason preferred. Facial. Mm-hmm. Jess, right. What do we have going on?
Hey guys, thanks for listening to us at oneofus.net. You're one of us, we're one of you, oneofus.net. Highly appreciate that, folks. We love your answers on our public access Happy Campers Facebook group page. If you would like to answer our questions, which we love that you do, you want to join public access Happy Campers page. Public access is on Facebook, public access is on Twitter, hashtag public access at ComediaGogo and at ComediaGogo.com. That's where you can get all the old shit. The old shit's really cool. So older episodes of Public Access, also our feature-length movie Blood Cousins, which is really bomb-ass, and also our comedy special Big Red and Barbacoa. with Larry and Riga, comedic duo. It's pretty baller. So, ComediaAgogo.com, ComediaAgogo. Thanks for listening to us. Public access.
That's right. And go to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We have Alamo City Improv doing their cool improv. At 10 o'clock, we're going to have a touring show, Pay What You Will. And at midnight, as always, it's free local and touring comics coming through from San Antonio and all over the country to make you laugh. Also, stay tuned for ComediaGogo Presents The Candy Butchers, which will be a monthly show at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club featuring burlesque dancers, sideshow freaks, comedians, and videos. So if you are one or all of the above and are interested in performing, maybe you're a mime. What's up, Callie? Come down to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club and we will showcase you. So, Nathan, Diamond, thank you so much for being guests. We hope this isn't the last time. Come back whenever you want. It'll be a lot of fun. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll slam you later. There it is. Oh, thanks. God.
Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!